Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome back to CUTV News Radio. Hey, it's nice to have you with us, and we are really delighted because Loretta Harrington is back with us again today. Loretta has been on our airwaves several times talking about an amazing book that she has written, and we're going to explore that more again today. I have not had the pleasure of talking to Loretta for a while now about this subject, and she is such a fascinating lady. Let me tell you just a little bit about her. You're going to find this very interesting because she has spent over 25 years of her corporate life in government, world of government and corporate life and nonprofit experience. She has worked in such areas as business and organizational leadership, business development and corporate outreach, human capital management, government affairs and relations, and project management. Those are all, you know, pretty sophisticated areas to work. She's also the co-founder of an organization called the American Georgia Travel Group, and that, I think, is because she rides a Harley-Davidson motorcycle. But if you look at her, you would never imagine she would be the kind of lady you would find on the back of a motorcycle, or actually driving a motorcycle. She is the wife of a retired Marine Corps colonel, a former government executive, a small business owner, and an old soul with a useful spirit. How about that? But the main reason she is here is because she's written a fascinating book, and it's called Peace of Soul Through the Heart, A Soul's Journey. And we're going to talk to her about that and a little bit more about her experiences to get you experienced about her, because I know a lot of people who are listening to the show do not know anything about Loretta or what her background is. So we'll talk about that a little bit briefly, and then we'll get into her story. So welcome back to our microphones, Loretta Harrington. Loretta, who is on the line with us from her home in the Virginia suburbs outside of Washington, D.C. Nice to have you with us, Loretta. How are you today?
I am well, Doug, and it's great to be back.
That's good. You sound excited. Is it raining where you are, by the way?
Yes, it is raining a bit, but we didn't get that fierce wind and lightning and thunder that we've experienced for the last 2 days in Northern Virginia.
Yeah, well, up and down the East Coast, it's been pouring. I'm in the southern part of, well, the western part of North Carolina, and in New York, it's all wet. It's, you know, everybody around here, we've had tons and tons of rain. Anyway, tell me a little bit briefly about your corporate story. You have done so many different things. It seems kind of fascinating that at some point you would decide from what has happened to you and what you've experienced that you would sit down and want to write a book. Did you ever think you'd write a book, though, first off? Let me ask you that. Chances are you didn't. Right?
I didn't, Doug, actually. I didn't. And based on my life experiences and those events that took place in the corporate world and my personal life, and more importantly, what happened to me after I left government, where I worked for President George W. Bush for 8 years in many high-level positions, as you said, corporate, nonprofit, you name it, because I moved around so much, I just took jobs. And I made something of those jobs. But all of those experiences led me to a moment in my life where I witnessed my dad's passing. I took care of him after I left government for quite a while. And that was a life event that still is with me to this day. When you see someone close their eyes and take their last breath, you never forget it. And that was the moment that I knew would be life-changing. And there's another reason why it was life-changing. And that was due to someone who came into my life. The story is about this individual who was with me that very morning when Dad passed away, and the bond that has flourished and has stayed in place for the last 9 years. So that's why I wrote the story. That moved me.
Let me, I could talk to you a lot about your corporate background and about working, for President Bush, the White House at years and all of that. And then you said you just took jobs. I'd love to hear more about that and wondering how your work for a president and your connection there and how that related to your getting other jobs. There's so much to go into, but we're going to skip that for now because I want to get into this book story. It's so amazing. You came across this person, has an amazing name. Zura is the person's name. And I've never met a Zura. I didn't, you know, I don't know if you had or not, but tell me a little bit about how he came to be with you when your father died.
Ah, fascinating. We realized, and I realized, because I was Dad's primary caregiver during the week, I drove from Virginia to Pennsylvania, the Philadelphia area, to take care of him, and got to the point, Doug, where I needed an extra pair of hands. And so I talked with the hospice team, and they said, your best bet is to go through a private healthcare agency. And I did. And I called a very small agency, and lo and behold, this agency was run by a woman who's from the country of Poland, Eastern Europe, and that's where my roots are. And I said, gee, I could use some help. They said, we've got a very fine young man. He just came off an assignment, and he's ready to come and interview with you. And his name is Zura, first name Zura. Selikwadze is his surname, and he's from the country of Georgia, the former Soviet Union Republic. Mm. So I interviewed Zura, had an instantaneous connection with him. And by that I mean when I saw him, I knew him, but I didn't know from where. So I put that aside, and we continued our conversation. And I kept looking at him and saying subconsciously, wow, something is going on here. My blood ran cold. I just couldn't figure it out. So one thing led to another, and Zura immediately moved into the house and became Dad's caregiver 24/7 until he passed away. And as I said a moment ago, he was with me when Dad passed over, and we stayed in touch. And little did I know that this friendship would go farther. And I was struck by this phenomenon. And a longtime person that I've worked with, her name is Alice DeVille, who does work in the field of soul connections and soul mates and soul path analysis, I called her and I said, Alice, something very unusual has happened. I need you to take a look at this. Tell me what's going on. And a few weeks passed by, and we connected again. I spoke with her again, and she said, you have found a soulmate. I said, I knew it. I knew something was going on. And so she explained a lot of this to me. All of us, Doug, have times in our lives where we've had deja vu moments. And with Zura, it was a lot of deja vu moments. Although I've had deja vu experiences in other connections or experiences, I said, I know I've been here before. What in the world is going on? So I began to take this far more seriously. And then with the passing of Dad and this connection, I said to myself, I've got to write about this. And I'm the only book, and I mean this, just not bragging, but I'm the only story that's out there that talks about this personal connection, because I've researched a lot of discussions on soulmates, soul connections, information, all that.
Let me ask you a question. Let's go back for a minute. You went to Pennsylvania to arrange help for your dad, and did Zura come in and help your dad there in Pennsylvania in the house where they were? Or did he do you bring it back to the Washington area with you?
Doug, he was with me in Pennsylvania in the house that I grew up in.
In the house you grew up in? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's fascinating. All right. So he stayed there until your father died. Your father
Correct.
Died. You obviously came back to Washington, right?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
You describe soulmate. What does that mean to you, soulmate?
It means that it's an individual that I have a connection with, a strong bond and a strong connection with, and there's a lot of chemistry, and that's how I look at soulmates. Soulmates can be our partners, our spouses, friends, relatives. You don't necessarily marry your soulmate, but soulmates are individuals that we've come across that I learn from and they learn from me. In fact, with Zora's relationship, I'm more of an educator, mentor to him. That's my role in this lifetime with the soulmate connection. A lot of people say, well, wow, I've just met my soulmate. Sparks are flying. This is great. But the reality is after that initial a connection, you really want to stay with the person, learn more about them, and they learn more about you. So that's how I describe soulmates, is just someone that you might have known before, in a past life, for example, and they've re-entered your life, and you want to take this connection even deeper. And that's how I describe a soulmate.
It's interesting because you say that when they re-enter your life, number one, you are one, not everybody admits this, but you are one who does believe that we've all had other lives elsewhere. Am I right?
You are right. I do believe that.
And what I'm getting at is you think you knew Zora somewhere else at another time and place. Is that right?
Correct. That's right, Doug. That's absolutely right.
I mean, that's cool. That is really cool.
Yes, now, and I've looked into that even more. We could talk about that if you'd like, but you're absolutely right. I knew him from past lives. I just knew it, and I've had it validated.
Do you know when or where that was? Have you figured that out?
Oh, yes.
Have you talked about it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What do you know?
What I know is this. I've looked into this deeply, and Zora and I, we've had past lives mostly in Eastern Europe, Russia, Ukraine, Germany, and one past life in Australia. But that's as far back as I've gone, and I've had this analyzed, as I said, and looked at deeply. And one common connection between the two of us is this. We were outsiders. We were sort of malcontents in periods of history where there was a lot of uprisings and civil unrest. And I was a writer, and I wrote about the rights of people, and he was too. He also was in that circle. And that makes sense to me because I had my DNA done about a year ago, Doug. And over 73% of my DNA is directly related to that part of the world, including the country of Georgia. And that's why when I got to Georgia the first time, I knew I had walked that earth, that part of the world before. And that's part of the connection that I have with Zora, because he was born in Georgia, raised in the country of Georgia. So that didn't surprise me, because I knew it. And I've always felt that I've had a strong connection to that part of Europe. So, yes, I've looked into it. It makes sense to me. And to this day, when Zora and I have political discussions, boy, do we really get into it. And he's a citizen, and he loves this country, and he read the Constitution probably more than most people. But we have that rapport established, and then we always go back to these discussions on politics and world events.
It's such a fascinating story. Tell me a little bit about, number one, Zora. Where is Zora today? Is he near you? Is he back in Pennsylvania or somewhere else?
Well, he's near me.
He
made the decision some time ago to leave a job in New York where he was working and come to Virginia and start a new life here in Virginia. He always liked this Northern Virginia area, and he's married now and he has a child. Here's something that you'll find interesting. My father died March 19th. His daughter was born March 19th, about 12 hours difference in time. So he had her here in Virginia, and he settled very nicely here in the Northern Virginia area. So I guess you could say I had a great deal of influence on his decision to come to Virginia, because he would visit me frequently from wherever he was working, whether it was in Florida, where he worked part of the year, or New York. And he also lived and worked in Philadelphia, of course, at the time I met him, but then since took other jobs. Life of an immigrant is you're always on the move, it seems to me. And he was very much on the move, looking for work and taking jobs that took him to many different places in the United States. But he's
Age? Well, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. What's the age difference between you two at this point?
About 20 years.
Okay,
yeah.
You're the older one, right?
Yes, of course.
Or the younger one?
Yeah.
You're the older one. Okay. Well, I don't know. Could be the other way around. You know?
Could be. Much younger.
That's pretty fascinating. It's all really amazing. And let me just ask you, how often do you two communicate now, today?
Oh, my gosh. We talk regularly, at least once or twice a week. I try
you
to
do.
See him.
Interesting.
Yeah. I try to see him. He tries to see us a couple times a month, depending on schedules. We don't live far from each other, but this is a pretty busy place, Doug, and schedules are tight.
Oh, we know. Yeah. Life can get very complicated. I'm wondering how this connection between the two of you, has affected each one of you. How's it affected you? And then you can tell me about him.
Oh, wow. For me, it gave me a sense of rebirth. For me, coming out of the corporate government arena where I work in a pretty rigid environment, it's all about facts, it's all about processes, regulations, and less about emotions. For me, I discovered emotions and reactions to emotions that I didn't know that I had. Strictly from a business standpoint, Doug, it was all about business with me. He helped me to laugh again. He helped me to see a different side of life based on his own life experiences growing up in a former Soviet Union country. He showed me how to be more empathetic, more understanding, and really how to have fun again, because Georgians love to have fun. And they get together for these events called supras, and wine flows, and food is on the table nonstop. And that was a new experience for me. I've had many life experiences, but this by far was the most fun I've had. And then for Zora, I would say that what I give to Zora is the sense of belonging. He has said more than once that I'm his family, and I cared about him in a country where there are so many of us, and not knowing where you belong as an immigrant, and not having the security of saying to a friend or a family or a relative that, hey, I need some help. I need to know what direction to take. He didn't have that. He came here at 24 years of age, and for 3 or 4 years, he kind of just rolled around, and he'll say frequently, I didn't know what it was like to be cared for. You gave me security. And that's what Zora has said, and that's what he says to this day. He'll say, I can't imagine what it would be like today without you and your family, knowing that you're there for me. Keep in mind, until he married, he didn't have any family here. And he's been married a couple of years. So, yes, he's had friends. He's had American friends, but not friends that he could count on. And he could count on us. And I can count on him. And that's the way it's been. And we check in, what's going on, anything happening, and I'll say, well, just wanted to see how you're doing. And isn't
that's
that
so
nice
great.
To have somebody call you and say, how are you?
Exactly. I'm wondering what your husband thinks about this relationship. What does he say?
Well, it took a while for Rick to understand this this phenomenon. He knew I believed in it. He said, if you're comfortable with this, he said, I'm comfortable with it. I'm not quite sure I understand all of it. But
yeah.
when I wrote the book, I must tell you, Doug, he never read the book. I didn't give him a manuscript.
Why not?
I didn't. I wanted him to read this when I was absolutely 100% certain that I wanted to go public with my beliefs and my view on this. And he sat down, he read it, he was sitting next to me when he finished it, and he said, "This is a very good book. This is a great story." At that time, when I decided to do this, Zora and Rick had known each other for three or four years, and I wanted them to bond, and I wanted them to understand that this relationship was important to me, and that meant Zora and Rick, my husband, had to really understand the role that I played in this threesome, and it really was a threesome, and it became even more so when Rick realized that this relationship was long lasting, and Rick's on board. He really is. Now, does he have as deep a relationship with her as I do? No. Does he have a strong bond? Yes. And would Rick do anything for Zora that's humanly possible? He has, and he will continue to do that. And it's because of me. I know that. I know that. So that says a lot about the relationship that I have with my husband.
No kidding. And it sure does. What about Zora's wife? Does she accept all of this, do you think? Obviously, you've met her, I would presume. Am I right?
You're right. I would say it's been a difficult road for her to understand this, because we have to understand that she did not come to the United States until she married. They had this long-distance relationship for a couple of years. So coming over here, getting married a week after she arrives, and everybody knows Zora from here, and she only knew Zora from her experience of when he visited Georgia. So for her, it was really difficult. And there was a lot of miscommunication, a lot of misunderstandings, the language, the cultural differences. And quite honestly, Doug, I knew Zora better than she did. And I had to temper my my remarks or any opinions or thoughts that I had, because she's 8 years younger than he is, and so they're still learning. But there was that dynamic that had to be handled differently. And she knew who I was. I met her when I was over there visiting, but that's a visit. This is not something that she could draw on in day-to-day experiences as she's trying to find her way in this country.
Well, I just must tell you, this is such a fascinating story. I'm prompted to ask you if you think other people, I know what you're going to say, I mean, like me or whoever's out there listening, do many of us have people that we have encountered in previous lives, you know, that we might be encountering today, and we just don't know it, that are in our midst?
Yes, there are. And the reason why you just don't know it is maybe you haven't been tuned in as much as others, because we all have this intuition, and it's tuning into it and understanding it for what it is. It's something that it's a gift, and some are more tuned in than others. And I'll admit that only in the last few years I've become more tuned in. But I'll bet you, Doug, if you look at people that you've met in your professional life and your personal life who come and go, by the way, not all stay. Their job is not to stay with us for long periods of time. Their role is to come into our lives, kind of point us in the right direction, learning from them and them from us, and then they move on. There have been people that have been in my circle that I've felt sad that they left my circle, but they weren't meant to stay. They were meant to do something, called it karma, and then move on and help someone else, and then you take away from that relationship, and your role, your job was to help someone else. Kind of get a more, to become more aware and to understand life's lessons more deeply. And I call this coming under the subject of a life well lived. How many times have people said, "I don't know what my purpose in life is. I don't know why I'm here. I want to make a mark in this world. I don't feel like I'm doing this. I don't think I'm living a life well lived. Well, I'll bet if you think through this and you look at this from here on out, you'll be able to answer that question a lot more confidently, and you'll realize that you are leading a life well lived, and it could be better if you give yourself some space and opportunity to think about those people that have come and gone in your lives. And I know I've had several, and I've dismissed it. And now thinking back and thinking, aha, that person was here to tell me one thing and one thing only. And I'm glad I had that opportunity and experience. Like we're talking today. Would we have found our way 2 or 3 years ago? Probably not, because I was very, very protective of who I was going to talk to, Doug, and who I was going to allow to promote my book and take it seriously.
Well, listen, this is an amazing story. We're time flies. We're running out of time quickly. I'm prompted to ask you, for someone who never wrote a book before and never thought you would write a book, did you find it hard to write the book, or did the words just flow?
The words flew. I woke up one morning and I said, I'm going to write a story about this. And I sat down at the computer and I just began writing. That's how it evolved over a period of months.
And how long did it take till you finished it?
Oh, I would say it took about 3 to 4 months till I was ready to submit the manuscript and get it published.
Well, that's not bad. 4 months is not bad. Well, good for you. I am so glad you stuck with it. Let me also ask you, what do you think people who read the book will get out of it? What do you hope they get from this?
They'll get validation. They'll get that they've been there before. They've had experiences like this before. They don't know why, but they'll hopefully come away with some answers and give themselves a chance. Think about life differently. I believe that's what they'll come away with. In fact, I've had many testimonials say that. They'll say, I felt emotion and connectivity in a small way after they've read this book. They find it fascinating. They've said, you know, things like, I never thought about it that way. And thanks for writing this book.
That's so great. I can totally understand that. Well, we have to give the information on how people can learn about this. You have a wonderful website. It's LorettaHarrington.me. What's the M-E stand for? I didn't know that was an internet site.
It's me.
Very good. Loretta Harrington. Harrington, by the way, it is HERRINGTON, just like it sounds. LorettaHarrington.me. If you go to that website, you will learn more about Loretta's story. You'll learn all about the book. You can get the book there. You can also get the book on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and other places like that, the websites, maybe in the bookstores. It's available out there, and we hope you will take your chance to look at the book. By the way, the title of the book, what is it? I'll let you do it, Loretta.
Peace of Soul Through the Heart, A Soul's Journey.
Okay. There you go, folks. Peace of Soul Through the Heart, A Soul's Journey. Loretta, thanks for being with us. It's been great chatting with you. I love your story. I love what you've done, and congratulations for doing this. I think everybody who reads the book really will benefit from it. So thank you. Nice chatting with you, my dear.
You're okay? Welcome.
You are. We thank you.
You've been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.
That's it, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. Thanks for being with us. See you next time here on CUTV News Radio. Till then, bye for now.